gonna do without children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show. Mask Mothers and Fathers Aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages, all stages with mental health issues, including addiction and prevention. Prevention is key. We need to help prevent issues from becoming big problems in one's life. And the way we do that is so many different ways, whether it's referrals for therapists, inpatient, outpatient programs. If it's a school issue, we have mentor programs out there we can refer you to. If you want a referral for any mental health issue or a free naloxone kit, free training that we could arrange wherever you are, we can get that kit to you and train how to administer it for an emergency, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your shul to have it available, whether it's for a neighbor's kid. Please call the MASC confidential helpline at 718-758-0400. Maybe you want to write down our number. Maybe it's for yourself, someone you're related to, a neighbor, someone you sit next to in shul. Write down our number. We're open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Our number, again, it's confidential. You can call anonymous, 718-758-0400. We also have a WhatsApp group available for parents, for moms, actually, that are struggling with their children, that are acting out drugs, alcohol, whether they're getting admitted to a psych ward, whether they're struggling with other issues. You can call the MASC helpline and see whether or not you can get support by joining that group. And there are parent groups available, New York, other areas that are available. And if you know someone that could benefit, give them our number, please. And like I said earlier, there are many ways of getting help for yourself, for your family members. And one of the ways that I'd like to introduce tonight, Sarah Hannah Silverstein, who's a proud mother of 7 children, and she's known for her book. She's an author of Moodtopia. She's a moody expert, and she has Tame Your Moods, De-Stress, Find Balance Using Herbal Remedies, Aromatherapy, and more. And we are not selling aromatherapy. We are not suggesting that that would be the only thing to do for your child, for yourself, for your loved one. But she is a master herbalist in the United States, and she's regularly featured on CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox News. And she has podcasts discussing how to possibly integrate alternatives with conventional medicine. So I'd like to welcome on a dear friend, a colleague, long time no, Sarah Hannah Silverstein. Welcome on our show tonight. Thank you for being on with us.
Thank you, Ruchama. This is something I've wanted to do for a long time, and I am a big fan and advocate of MASC, and I want to thank you for the amazing work that you're doing also.
Thank you. And Sarah Hannah, I want to talk about the different alternative medicines that are out there for those that are not comfortable with regular meds, but I'm not advocating for or against in any way. Our focus really is about the knowledge is power, and there are differences, different remedies out there, and parents are facing so many challenges, and there are so many moods that come up, whether it's the child's moods, whether it's the parent's moods as a result of the child's moods. And I really want to speak about the benefit of being moody. And if you could explain about the Moodtopia book as well, please.
I would love to. And I first want to preface this by saying that as a master herbalist, it doesn't mean that I'm against allopathic or Western medicine. Western medicine, Ruchama, can save people's lives, and they're very beneficial. When it comes to emotional challenges, the psychotropic drugs can certainly save people's lives. If children or adults have borderline personality or schizophrenia, there's no question these medications can be amazing. The question is, though, for those people that are in between, Ruchama, so we have people, adults, teenagers, even toddlers that can cope well in the world. And then we have people and children that have ups and downs, which are within normal range. And then on the far end of the spectrum, we have people that really do need psychotropic meds. So this conversation today is about those people in the middle. And what I want to say, following MASC and its amazing work, is if we could focus on trying to nip these addictions, nip these emotional challenges in the buds, maybe earlier in life, I feel that we'd be able to give strength and kayak to our teenagers to be able to go through life struggles. What do I mean? What I mean is herbal medicine has been used for thousands of years. I am not selling a product. I'm sharing information. In our Beis HaMikdash, we had a Mizbeach where we burnt essential oils, we burnt plants. It was so much a part of our life. And when Rivka was not conceiving and becoming pregnant, her son went out into the field and got an herb. And Motzi Shabbos, we smell bisamim, which is basically an essential oil that we're breathing in. So herbs have been a part of our lives for thousands of years, and I want to even go on to say that when we went into the land of Eretz Yisrael, it was a barren desert, Ruchama. They said that you were not able to plant anything there, and we as Yidden went in there, got our hands dirty, and it's one of the agricultural centers in the world today. So we are connected to plants. We've used them for thousands of generations, and since World War II and the Holocaust, we've really lost that herbal knowledge. That's my intro to why I do botanical herbal medicine. So getting into herbs for children, so if you have a child that gets frustrated very easily, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, their rebbes don't understand them. They get very agitated by kids around them. There's an herb called skullcap, which is in the mint family, which is calming and soothing to the system and may just help that kid cope a little bit better, Ruchama. So when we have these kids that become at risk when they're in their teens, it's not like on a Tuesday they were fine and a Wednesday, boom, their life fell apart. It's a slow progression. So I wish that us as Jewish mothers and fathers and caregivers and educators understood that these herbs will help soothe the emotional roller coaster of life. There's an herb called motherwort, which is for hormonal gloominess. So we know now girls, even 2 to 3 years before they begin their cycle, their hormones can be out of control. And these girls are going to get more frustrated at their moras. They're going to get more frustrated. They're going to feel like they can't fit in. And these girls, if you give them an herb called motherwort, which is non-addictive, no side effects, it's an herb similar to onions and garlic and turmeric and paprika. If we gave a girl motherwort, she would not feel so gloomy and frustrated. So my feeling with all the kids at risk is that if we gave them tools and things that they could use along their journey, that they would be less likely to go for the drugs that are truly addictive and the behaviors that are so negative for them. Does this make sense, Ruchama?
Absolutely. But for the conversation of moods in general, I mean, I'd like our listeners first to understand if you can talk about the high cortisol levels and how it makes our lives more difficult, and teaching the children skills for the levels that are low.
Right.
So if you can just first talk about that, maybe that can be a little bit more understanding and helpful to connect those dots, please.
Okay, so let's say, I'm going to make up a number now, so if there's any doctors out there, we're just making up a number that's easy for the audience to understand. Let's say when your or my cortisol levels get up to 300, you and I are ready to crack. That's the time you and I are agitated all the time. So what we need to do is work on a daily basis to reduce those cortisol levels. Cortisol levels are the stress hormones. Cortisol is amazing in fight or flight situations. It's amazing also when you go on a roller coaster, Ruhama. That's when it's really fun to have these high cortisol levels. But people that live on a daily basis with high cortisol levels, and it could be the parents who are going through challenging times with their teens or toddlers, and for the toddlers and teens themselves. When they are consistently high, we have brain fog, depression, anxiety, agitation, lack of sleep, nausea. The feelings that we have with high cortisol levels over a long period of time are very destructive and can also lead to weakening the immune system. So my goal in speaking on radio and podcasts and doing TV shows is to teach people on a daily basis we need to work to lower our cortisol levels. So it's very interesting because studies show that when people put a smile on their face, just a fake smile, it doesn't even have to be real, that it actually lowers the cortisol levels in your body. And when you smile at another person, it can help lower their cortisol levels. So when you're having a child that's losing it and not in control, what our natural reaction is to scream and yell. I mean, it's totally normal. But if we can work on integrating a smile in our lives and teaching our children, even when they're going through hard times, to smile, that's going to lower cortisol levels. We know that exercise, which unfortunately is not a part of our yeshiva world, but exercise does two things. It lowers cortisol, which is the stress hormone. It increases oxytocin, which is the feel-good hormone. And we get a chemical in our brain called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which helps with memory. So even integrating more exercise into our younger children's yeshiva life will help lower those cortisol levels, and people will feel more balanced. So I want to talk for a moment, because you asked that question in the beginning, what are the benefits of moodiness? Like, you've got a moody teen, you've got a moody parent, what's the benefits of moodiness? So I want to give a really quick example. I originally come from Los Angeles, and my mother had to drive the carpool every day, and we lived in the Hollywood Hills, and going from the Hollywood Hills into the city where my school was, there were a lot of twisty roads. And there was this one corner, Ruhama, where there would be a near accident every single morning. And my mother would get to that corner and say, oh, Baruch Hashem, we weren't killed today. And Baruch Hashem, there wasn't an accident. And she started to get angrier and angrier because she really felt it was dangerous. She called the city, and the city said, if you get 1,000 signatures, we can put a stop sign there. So my mother, being slightly over 5 feet tall, walked up and down the streets of our neighborhood, gathered 1,000 signatures, and to this day, there's a stop sign there. So that moodiness of anger gave my mother the impetus to be able to make change. Sadness, no one ever wants to feel sad. But when you experience a sadness or a loss in your life, it makes you more compassionate for another person that's going through that. So our moods that Hashem gave us have a healthy side to it. It has a normal side that helps us function in a community and society. And I wish, Ruhama, that moods were discussed in preschool, elementary, junior high, and high school. Because a lot of our teens at risk feel they're the only ones that are feeling this frustrated. They're the only ones that are feeling this angry. And if it was talked about more, I think we'd be able to have earlier intervention, and we know early intervention and prevention helps.
You know, I am doing this. We just started this month, right before Purim is our 23rd year. We're starting, you know, and we've reached over 100,000 families over these 22 years that we're completing. And so much has changed in a good way. Thrive New York City, the mayor brought in a lot of programs to the community, to the city, on mental health, the awareness. It's so much more accessible to get help. I remember when I started MASC and I went to one of the clinics to tell them about MASC and the parent groups and the helpline. There were two clinics out of five that I went to just in Brooklyn that said to me, please send us clients. We have therapists sitting, twiddling their thumbs, waiting to fill the spots. And today, all the clinics have a waiting period because everyone is booked. So, and there are so many wonderful, good organizations that are helping the clown, helping the community today, not just MASC. There are so many. But we are still behind the eight ball. Kids are dying. Kids are depressed. And there's more and more anxiety with anti-Semitism and everything else, causing our young adults to have more anxiety. I'd like you, if you can, talk about, just generally, about essential oils and herbs that can help specifically. We know that, you know, you go and you pick up lavender. I'm not a big fan of lavender, but there are those with lavender pillows, and you spray some on the pillowcase to help you sleep. You said psamim. We smell that Motzei Shabbos. In the Havdalah, we always have the psamim. People say peppermint for that, you know, weak stomach, et cetera. So I'm wondering if you can just mention a few that may be so helpful for moms that are listening, dads that are listening, that can help with moodiness, please.
So I'm going to first touch on essential oils, and then I'm going to go to herbs that you take internally. So there's a lot of information or misinformation or fake news on Instagram and social media saying that essential oils can just cure all emotional challenges that you're having. And I don't believe that that's true, Rahama. I think it's one of the tools in our tool chest. And I want to talk for just a moment about how you can use essential oils to help balance your emotional stresses and lower your cortisol. So if you have trouble waking up in the morning, you can put by your bed a diffuser that you can buy for $10. I'm not selling anything really inexpensive. And you can set it up on a timer to go off about 10 minutes before your timer goes off in the morning. You can use essential oils like lemon, lime, orange, tangerine, or grapefruit. And these oils show to have an uplifting effect on our emotions. So if you have trouble waking up, or you have a child trouble waking up, when their alarm goes off, if they're inhaling these beautifully pleasant, uplifting scents, they can definitely help to start the day off on a kind of sunnier step, a little bit happier step. If you have children that have trouble going to sleep, you don't have to use lavender. There's hundreds of other oils that help that have a more sedating effect. You're not going to use an essential oil one time, poof, magic, boom, the kid goes to sleep. But let's say you have a child that really has trouble going to sleep. After their bath at night, you put a couple drops of that essential oil on the towel that you wrap them in. Then when you put pajamas on them, you put a couple drops on their pajamas, Ruhama, and then on their pillowcase, you put a couple more drops. Let's say you're using an oil called sandalwood. It was used in the Beis Hamikdash, and it is a calming and soothing scent. That child, after a couple weeks, will subconsciously start to associate bedtime with that smell. And the melatonin, which helps us go to sleep, will be activated with the memory of, oh, my mom's putting me to sleep, right? Even if a child's fighting it. So those are two very quick, easy ways that you can incorporate essential oils, and it's not going to happen overnight. You have to try it for a month and see if it makes an impact. As for herbs internally, it says in Tehillim that Hashem gave grass for the cattle and herbs for the service of man, The word there is service. And it also says that Hashem put the refuah in the world before the illness, and Hashem created plants and trees before man. And again, I'm not against pharmaceuticals, but I know that the barks of the trees and the flowers and the roots and the seeds are there to help us. So there's an herb called lemon balm. It's from the mint family. It is safe. It's not contraindicated with any medication. It is a soothing tea, and or you can take it in tincture. It's antiviral, and it calms the system down. So you have, if you have a kid that, you know, maybe you're going to put the kid on Ritalin, maybe the kid has ADD, you can certainly, before pharmaceuticals, of course, under the guidance of someone like an herbalist, you can try lemon balm for a couple weeks and see if that has that calming effect, because lemon balm calms without making you feel sleepy. There's another herb called linden. Linden trees grow all over Brooklyn. I just wrote an article the other day, by the way, for a publication about all the medicinal herbs that grow at the traffic circle between Borough Park and Crown Heights, all over Brooklyn. These herbs grow. Linden trees are stunning. They smell gorgeous in the spring. And that's an herb that calms you down and helps with digestion. So a lot of these teens that are looking for drugs and going after drugs are self-medicating themselves. Sometimes they just have really indigestion problems, Rahama. They really just have pains in their stomach after they eat, and linden can really help, because we know when kids turn to drugs, they are self-medicating. So if we could introduce herbs, safe herbs, into our children's lives, and they know, oh boy, I'm getting that stomach ache again, let me do some linden tea, or oh my gosh, I'm having that anxiety, I have a fahar or a test tomorrow and I'm really nervous, and they take some Skullcap and they feel calmer, they may be less likely to turn to drugs. We don't have clinical double-blind studies because people aren't funding them, but they may. And a lot of young kids and teens are sent to me, and I teach them how to use herbs in a way that they can self-regulate, and it can be there for them. And I want to say clinical studies post-surgery, when people are given morphine from a nurse, they take more than if they're on a morphine pump, because when they can regulate the morphine to help their own pain, they take less of it. And the reason I was passionate about taking time out of my day today and doing the show with you is kids are smarter than we think. Toddlers, elementary kids, they know what they're going through, Rahama. And now we live in a world, thank God, Baruch Hashem, where we have therapists and social workers. But if you say to a kid, when you get anxious, take a little Skullcap, they're going to come over to you and say, Mommy, I'm feeling a little anxious. And they will feel within 20 minutes to feel less anxious. And then I believe that they'll be less likely to feel they have to go self-medicate with drugs or alcohol.
So, Sarah Hanna, let me just ask you, you mentioned about the importance of crying and the importance of laughter. Those are both, you know, definitely something that parents face every day with children, different ages, different stages, and themselves. You know, there are single parents, there are, whether they're divorced, whether they lose a spouse, you said lack of sleep, or I could say also alienation issues going on now, and there is lack of sleep. Parents, you know, Yiddish mamas, they say, Jewish mothers, they, you know, have a hard time sleeping when a child's not well, child's unhappy, child, I'm not discounting dads there. I'm just asking, you know, talk to the mom that's listening, the dad that's listening, and give them some ideas for themselves, please.
So it's very interesting about tears. Studies have shown that there are three types of tears in our eyes. One is to moisturize our eyes when we blink. The second type of tears is if we get an eyelash or something in our eyes that push out the tears. And the third tears that come out of our eyes, Rahama, are cortisol. So the old-fashioned philosophy was, especially for boys, don't cry, be tough. And even moms, don't cry. You can handle this. Don't let your kids see you cry. And I'm of a very different opinion. My philosophy is, if you feel like crying, let on a deluge. Smear your mascara if you need to. Cry and cry and cry. Because when you cry, you will lower your cortisol levels. And as I discussed before, whenever you're going through a stressful time, whether you feel like you're not popular in school or you're getting bullied in school, or the parents, your kids are being bullied, or your kids don't feel like they fit in, you're going to have sleepless nights. If you need to cry, go ahead and cry. In Japan, they have centers now where they have crying sessions where people sit around and talk all about their hardships in life, and everybody sobs and you feel better after. And laughter, I feel that moms and dads, when they have their list, buy gefilte fish, drop of kapata at the cleaners, you know, make sure you pre-order matzah for Pesach, on that list should also say laugh. Because there was an interesting doctor, I wish I had the quote in front of me, but I'm going to paraphrase, in the early 1900s, he said, what is it about humans? They're the only animal on the planet, except hyenas, but we won't discuss that, who have this reaction where they start this strange sounding called laughter, where their diaphragm bumps up and down in their internal and shaking all the internal organs. And what it, the strangest part about it, he says, is that everybody feels good after a laugh. I wish I had his exact words, but basically, we know that laughter makes us feel good, and it lowers our cortisol levels. Cortisol is our stress hormones. It releases oxytocin. Oxytocin is our feel-good hormones. So it's really important to do activities. This is a serious world. Most people are struggling financially, Ruchama. We live in too small places with too many kids. Our schools are overcrowded. These are all brachas, and the opposite also. Put laughter in your life. Make sure that you laugh. Make sure that you teach your kids the importance of laughter. So smiling, even if it's fake, actually changes the chemical compositions in our brain and our reactions. Laughter makes us feel good even when things are hard. And that's why when people see other people fall, they laugh. It's because their cortisol levels rise very quickly and the laughter lowers them so they can go help the person. And
thank
crying,
you.
Ruchama, people need to cry.
Yep, people do cry, and we need more laughter, like you said. Sarahana, we're running out of time, but thank you very much, and I just want our listeners to know there is no one-size-fits-all when it comes to behavioral health treatment. Patients, clients with the same diagnosis can have different experiences and may respond differently to various treatments. So it's important for families just to get the knowledge, be armed with knowledge, understand the options out there, and make informed decisions for yourself. So thank you, Sarahana, so much for being on with us.
Thank you, Ruchama, and thank you to MASC. This is a vitally important organization.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me on today. I feel very honored.
Thank you, and I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a wonderful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. And our number is 718-758-0400. Thank you, and have a good night.
Hi, this is Herbert Block, Executive Director of the American Zionist Movement. Today, you and all American Jews can vote for your voice in Israel and around the Jewish world. That's because from now through March 11th, you can cast your ballot online in the U.S. election for the 38th World Zionist Congress. Over 40,000 votes have already been cast. Just what is the World Zionist Congress? It's the global parliament of the Jewish people and the only institution that democratically represents all of world Jewry. The World Zionist Congress makes critical decisions about the future of Israel and the Jewish people. It decides how to spend $1 billion a year for the World Zionist Organization, the Jewish Agency for Israel, and the Keren Kayemet Le'Israel Jewish National Fund. Those institutions support thousands of programs in Israel and in Jewish communities worldwide. In other words, by voting in this election, you can help shape life in Israel and for the global Jewish community. So visit www.zionistelection.org to vote now for the Jewish future. Thank you.